Question is, what really happened in our story for this morning? Did Jesus really take 5 little round loaves, even flatter than that loaf, and 2 small fish, and not only feed from that well over 5,000 people, but also then end up with 12 basketfuls of leftovers from 5 loaves and 2 fish? I mean, that's absurd. How would that even work physically? Or did Jesus somehow get everyone who was there to share whatever food they had with them with everyone else? That's one of the other major ideas of what Jesus did that really happened on that day. I used to think that second one was a bit of a cop-out, the easy way out. Now, I mean, producing thousands and thousands of loaves and fishes from essentially crumbs, that's miraculous. But inspiring people to share the food that they brought with them, I mean, that doesn't seem that impressive, doesn't seem like a miracle. Or at least it didn't used to seem that way to me. I will say that the older that I've gotten, and the more aware I have become of the just grotesque greed that lies rotting at the very center of our society, the more I understand how miraculous it would be if, at least for us in the U.S., we became a society where everyone shares whatever they have so that everyone has enough of everything. And ultimately, that is at least part of the vision of the world that Jesus wants us to see revealed in this miracle. The feeding of the 5,000 plus reveals God's desire that the world would be a place where everyone shares even what little they have, so that there will be enough of everything for everyone. Right now, our world operates a bit more like the disciples did, at least initially. In verse 15, we hear about the disciples. As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away. We know that there are thousands of people. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves food." The disciples are just being realistic, right? I mean, there are thousands and thousands of people who have flocked out into this remote place to see and to hear Jesus. And it wasn't like Jesus or the disciples invited them out there. They didn't plan on this. In fact, we heard in verse 13 that when Jesus heard about John the Baptist, his cousin, we actually think, being executed, being murdered by King Herod, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. I mean, the disciples thought that this was just going to be some sort of quiet retreat, some getaway for themselves, just them and Jesus. They didn't ask all these people to follow them out into this remote place. So now the disciples are simply suggesting that these folks take some responsibility for themselves and the choices they made to follow Jesus out into this desert. And yet, Jesus says, they don't need to go away to get something to eat. You feed them. Why does Jesus say that? I mean, he could just as easily have taken the same attitude as the disciples. His cousin, John the Baptist, had just been murdered by King Herod, and whether from grief at that death, or from fear that the same might happen to him or to his disciples. Jesus had wanted to get away to a solitary place. He gets in a boat to go away privately to a solitary place, and yet literally thousands of people follow him. In fact, they get there first. He gets out of the boat and they're already there. It seems to me that Jesus would have been completely justified to say, "Leave me alone. Go away. Don't you get the hint? I got in a boat and left you." And yet, instead, we hear in verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw these thousands, he had compassion on them, and he healed the sick. And compassion here is my favorite word, splachnidzo. It's almost a literally, it sounds like what it describes. It's a basically a spilling of the guts. It's being moved incredibly deeply in the very soul, deepest part of your soul. Jesus' heart is broken for these people and all of their needs. He heals their ill and their broken. And he sees their hunger as his to fill also. William Barclay writes, "Jesus had come to find peace in quiet and loneliness. Instead, he found a vast crowd eagerly demanding what he could give. He might so easily have resented them. Yet, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion to the depths of his being. That is a very wonderful thing." Dale Bruner adds, "Jesus not only cares about hungry people, he does something and motivates his church to do something. What he does is important to notice. He doesn't advise fasting. He doesn't advise or counsel patient resignation. He feeds them." When the disciples looked at these thousands of people, all they saw was need, and they wanted to send it away and send them away. When Jesus looked at these thousands, what he saw was people in need, and from compassion, he cared for them. This is what God wants from us all. We hear this in our Hebrew First Testament passage. Again, this is what I want from my people, is what God is saying. To break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace. As I was reading through this message translation of it again, and remember, this is done 20, 30 years ago, the message translation. How much of this fits our society in this present moment? Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. Then your light will shine. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims. Quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, then your lives will glow and you'll be known as people who, I love the way that ends, people who make community livable again. John, in his first letter, put it this way. Don't be like Cain. We heard first from God, the whole thing comes together in this phrase that we should love each other. Don't be like Cain. The way we know that we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. And specifically, this is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. And this is why we ought to live sacrificially for others and not just for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister and have the means to do something, but you turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love there? And then we end this section with, my dear children, let us not talk about love alone. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know that we're living truly, living in God's reality. Remember how I said at the beginning, they're just being realistic, right? The disciples, send these people away. God says, no, they're not being realistic. Jesus was the one that was being realistic. And it's amazing how little it took from the disciples, for all those thousands to be satisfied. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Clearly, the most important step for the disciples was offering that little bit to Jesus. And then notice what Jesus himself did with it. Verse 19. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves and then gave them to the disciples to give them out. I like John Calvin, what he says here. It ought to be taken into account that to raise the eyes upward is an excitement well fitted to arouse us from sloth when our minds are too strongly fixed on earth. He goes on. I'll cut it off there. And ultimately, that's what this is about, is God working with the little bit that the disciples bring. God working with the little bit that we bring from our lives and makes it more than enough. At the same time, each of us sharing what we have is vital for everyone having enough. But boy, that seems a far distance from the world that we live in now. As a whole, when our society looks at our own broken and hungry, we see only needs and want to send them away. But Jesus sees people with needs, and with compassion, he cares for them. And so maybe, after all, the miracle was that Jesus got everyone to view one another with compassion and to share what they had. Barbara Brown Taylor says, when a whole crowd of people move from a sense of scarcity to a sense of plenty, overcoming their fear of going hungry, giving up their need to protect themselves, refusing to play what is mine and what is yours, turning their pockets inside out for one another, this is truly miraculous. Fact is, we don't know. We don't know what Jesus did that day or what all those other people in the crowd did. But we do know what the disciples did. They gave the little bit they had to Jesus. And Jesus made it more than enough. So the good news for us is we don't have to wait for what others do. We simply continue to give Christ whatever we can, and he will take care of the miracles. Thanks be to God.